Welch, Welch, Gatinia, Goji, and DL Debate. Then Misha, Brenda McDavnia, and Shot I Highland Radio. Welcome on all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio. We're back via the podcast. Well, folks, just want to thank Evan Borden first, the legendary Evan Borden. Of course, Donal Gavin from the news. And he takes enough risks when he spins those discs. DJ Joe Dex, producer Joe, entrepreneur. He's got it all. He's got it all. Folks, where to start this evening? How about here?
10 seconds to go here. Donegal have the ball. Run the verge of winning another Anglo-Celt Cup.
5 seconds.
4 seconds left.
We have it.
Donegal.
We have it.
We have the hitter. Put the ball out of play.
Yeah. It's all Donegal is champions. What a day.
Back Ulster champions. A 12th Ulster title. What a game of football. What a game of football. Donegal are champions of Ulster once again.
Who needs a hooter when you have a countdown and excitement like that? Listen, for anybody there or anybody watching and all the Donegal fans tuning in, including my man Leslie McGettigan out in New York, who is always on the tune listening to the DL Debate. Listen, what a day to be. Listen, first of all, I suppose a GA fan and anyone neutral watching, I mean, what a game of football. I mean, it's a better game this year. I would like to be at it because that was just absolutely phenomenal. Fair play to both teams. There was a small schmozzle at the end, but listen, anyway, these things happen. But in terms of general play, it was just absolutely fascinating. You know, I know Mark Sidebottom said to Jim after, you know, the winning matches thing, you know, Jim obviously is very humble in what he does and him and his backroom team. But, you know, just counting up the last 6 years with Jim, there was 4 years of preliminary Ulster. And this is Ulster Championship. The toughest championship in football with so much riding on it and so much competitive nature. Yet in his 6 years, we've played 21 matches and lost one. I mean, that is unbelievable. And won in five titles as well. And actually, just on the way up, I was thinking about, of course, Michael Murphy, the duo. And who else would have got Murphy back? Only Jim. So all the pieces that fell into place yesterday. And I suppose, listen, from a man out, Sean Patton, unbelievable. I mean, Finn Barody, what a first season. I'm absolutely delighted for the lad to come in and win an Ulster because he has just been, talk about a breath of fresh air into this team, the energy that he's given it, you know. And when you start to go through the teams, I mean, McCall, as ever, absolutely outstanding. There were so many heroes out there. You know, Keelan McGonigal's return was massive. You know, he is such an integral player to us getting it back in because you're going up against All-Ireland champions. And, you know, this was going to come down to the wire. We needed everything. You know, Kieran Moore's influence, his goal, Langan, you know, Hugh McFadden, again, soldiering in there against that physical Armagh side, getting a goal as well. And, you know, the engine of Shane O'Donnell everywhere. And, of course, listen, Michael Murphy. What's to be said about this guy? You know, this was, in terms of his championship game so far, he just was such a leader again. You know, people are talking about the moments in the game, that catch they made, which he was actually fouled for, it should have made an advanced mark. It's a pity he didn't get that, to kick it over the bar, but anyway, we got the foul and Patrick kicked it over. And, you know, the form coming back, Oisin Gallan, I mean, it's 4 points in the first half, phenomenal stuff. And of course, you know, I have to say Niall O'Donnell, you know, when you look at it, he came on seventh sub, and for him to actually be come up with the two scores and the match winner, listen, I was so glad to see him back. Hitting form, what a day for Donegal. Coming up shortly, I'm going to talk with two men who know a lot about this fixture, Stephen McDonald of Armagh and Kevin Cassidy. And then later, we're going to hear some bits and pieces from the Donegal backroom team, players. We've got interviews here. And then Maureen O'Donnell's going to be on the show as well, looking back on the ladies' final that preceded the game. But as I say, yesterday there, we had, what am I on here, Joe?
Green.
I'm on the green there. We're going to put up the next interview here. We have a couple of words here. Is this the Michael Murphy one? Hold on one second. I'll just get my technology right here, folks. I haven't got my screen on properly. I just wanted to play. I have a ton of interviews here. I was in the mix myself, obviously. I was doing a bit for BBC, but I got a couple of interviews with some of the players after the game myself, and Oisin caught up with a few as well. And here is one from the man himself, the captain, Michael Murphy.
Michael Murphy, we're here about an hour after winning what is your sixth Ulster title. Has it sunk in yet? How does that one feel compared to the rest?
Jakers, I know I say good into Ulster.
Just, you know what, it's brilliant. I didn't think it would happen again for myself. I was here last year and supported the boys, enjoyed it every bit as much as the ones that played, believe you me. I'm just delighted for the boys, delighted for the team, delighted for management, delighted for the people that only got to up here again today and to be able to win one. Look great at times, didn't look great at some other times, but I think it's a credit to the team that's there, the desire that they showed and the hunger they showed to be able to stay in it. It's great, you know.
Yeah. But for you, this is why you came back?
Let's get back to try and help the team. That was simply as. I remember having the conversation many moons ago, and whether it was 2 minutes, 3 minutes, no minutes, and just helping out at training, that was the agenda, and that was the whole thing about it. I thought that the timing for me and the hunger was there just to try and help that out. And as I say, listen, it's not about me, it's not about anybody, it's about the team, it's about Donegal, and whatever kind of contribution you can give towards the team, that's what it was, you know.
Listen, you made a huge contribution today, so how's the body now in the aftermath of that?
A win always generally tends to help with that wee bit more, but yeah, just kind of seized up and cramped up there, just kind of nearly the end of the full time, really. It didn't really last too long in extra time, but listen, the lads came in there, Jesus, they're incredible. Like, you know, Steve McMenamin came in there, the bit of play between himself and Pimperorty there at the end of the game, it'll just stick in my mind. I don't think anything will do it justice. Highlights, it'll do it justice when you're in here in the heat of the battle, down pitch side, and you see what the two of them boys contributed there today. It was phenomenal, along with tons and tons more. I hate mentioning names, but the two of them in particular, just thought that passage to play was something else. Yeah.
Niall O'Donnell won the Ulster title here last year for Donegal. He's done it again. He didn't feature at all in the championship until the extra time. And them fresh legs, and it shows that the squad, and even Kieran Moore to that extent that got the goal, he got to rest the legs and then come back in again. And that's what you have to do, the way the game is now, Michael.
That's exactly it. And just the problem, I mentioned names. You mentioned the first two boys, and then you forgot about Niall. Like, his contribution today, just his control and his ability on the ball in general, it was just crazy. Like, everyone will point and look at the couple of scores, but it was actually the control and the, you know, just the tempo that he was able to create on the ball. I think was when he had it, everybody else around him was moving to his kind of tempo and his orchestra, you know. So you know what, that's just what's needed now at this stage of the game. It's like cliched wise, for so many years everybody says it was a 70 minute game, but it is every bit much now a 70 minute game, you know. And that's where it's at, you know.
Yeah, you lifted the cup along with your clubman Jack Galler, which was important for you because you like to lead the way for the younger players, and we've seen the two of you lifting the Anglesell Cup together.
That's it. It was brilliant for Jack to be up and be able to experience it. I remember as a young lad coming on the first time and winning one was great, and you know, he's somebody that would have played with and somebody that would have coached and whatnot the whole way through. And as I say, he'll remember that, and hopefully that'll spur him on and spur everybody in the club on to bigger things too.
Yeah. Listen, you're not done yet. The All-Ireland series is to come, but it's too early to start talking about that, Michael.
That's exactly it. Yeah. We move on to the next one. Things come very quick. You used to be able to get a 6 week break and a 4 week break, but it's 2 weeks now. And Tyrone will be coming around the corner hot and heavy, and that's what we'll look forward to.
Listen, the highlight reel today, no doubt, is you with the one-handed catch. Enjoy the celebrations, Michael. We loved it today, and congratulations.
Yes, Michael Murphy, you could hear it in his voice. What a big day. What a performance. What a man. What can we say about Michael? Listen, it just, for everybody in Donegal, you know, who he is as a person, a leader, and as a player on the pitch, absolute inspiration. And of course, as I was going through the names there, I did mention Kieran Thompson and his couple of 2 point absolute boomers there in the game as well. That's what happens. Listen, basically, every player contributed so much to that. You know, the effort that he put in, it's just stand clear. I'm so proud of him, and everybody had such a brilliant day there. As I say earlier, I caught up with Kevin Cassidy and Stevie McDonald to get their views on the epic game and that Ulster final victory for Donegal. Stephen and Kevin, welcome to the show.
Good to be.
Thanks very much, Brandon.
How are you? I am well. Stevie, see, before we get into the game, just your neighbour's Louth there, a bit of noise maybe coming from across the border yesterday.
Yeah, it was great to see. A very evenly matched game again, but Louth, to be fair, have been knocking on the door for the last couple of years. This year alone, you know, they've got good success with their under-20s and their minors are in the final, I think, next week as well. So, you know, when you're putting that type of work and effort in, it eventually pays off. And, you know, I suppose it was just reward for them after the travesty of 15 years ago, but it's great for them to finally get over that line.
Yeah, magic. Kevin, there was a time there a few years ago where Leinster just, I mean, Dublin was the best team in Ireland, and then there was no challenge. Like, if anything, Meath and Kildare were going back the ways. I mean, Louth were starting to build something. You know, I was just looking at Bevan Duffy guy. He played for Louth in Division 4. The boy was brought in midfield there yesterday. Like, it's some story for Louth from where they've come from to finally break this Leinster-Dublin hold.
It's unbelievable to me. And I suppose, like, that Dublin dominance, it was hard to watch, I suppose, because it became so easy. But it was good in a sense because they just... they set the standards, and they were just the way they approached the game and not on off the pitch. But in terms of Louth, like, you know, you have to give, and I know the lads have given them, Mickey and Gavin Devon have, you know, just went in there and kind of set the stones and set the foundations. And I suppose what they've done to me is they've shown the Louth players what other counties do in terms of preparation and commitment to the cause. And, you know, I remember I was covering the league game between Louth and Meath there, the last league game. I was chatting to Jared Brennan just before the game started. He says that now everybody wants to play for Louth, whereas a couple of years ago that wasn't the case. They mightn't have the biggest pick in the world, but they have everybody available to them, you know. And even though some of those guys had played in Division 4, now they're sitting as Leinster champions, and it's massive for them.
Yeah, massive. Listen, everybody wants to play for our man Donegal at the minute. Stevie, you know, it was impossible to come. Me and you were together on Friday there. We were having a chat up in Uri. And listen, most of us were kind of saying this draw. You know, it's looking like a draw. Me and Mulligan were in the line yesterday. You know, draw. Now, at halftime, I thought Donegal, maybe we're in a good position. But listen, trying to pull these boys apart, it had to be an epic game, hadn't it, Steve? I mean, you'd have to say Donegal and Armagh, now probably Galway and Kerry, you know, they look like they're just serious squads. I mean, they come head to head. There's just nothing between it.
Yeah, they are the four teams. Listen, Dublin will probably have some kind of a say as well, but you have to say the spectacle that Donegal and Armagh put on Saturday was just fantastic. From an Armagh point of view, I was a wee bit wary in the first half with how the game was going. But then when we went down on the pitch side, there was a wee bit of a breeze there favouring Donegal in the first half. And, you know, it obviously levelled things up. But between them two teams, there has been very little in terms of scoring difference over the last couple of seasons. And Saturday was going to be no different. I didn't expect it to be a draw, to be honest. I was thinking one team would sway it one way or another by a point or two. But listen, it was just testament to the two squads, the two management teams, on how well they've prepared their teams. And, you know, for me, those two teams are probably the top two at the minute because of the quality of opponents that they've faced as well, and the type of test that they've come through. They are the top two, with Galway close third and Kerry just behind them. But any one of them teams would certainly do well to be contesting an All-Ireland final this year, you know. But it's disappointing Armagh lost, but you come away saying, what a game of football. Mm. You know, from a neutral point of view, I would say it was, without a shadow of a doubt, the best game of the season. Yeah. And possibly the best game of the last couple of years as well.
Yeah. Listen, I agree, Stevie. They give it their all. They're not much. I mean, even I talked to Kieran after he was beat Derry last year in the first game in the round-up, and I was saying, listen, you've done nothing wrong. I mean, the bloody pelling the shit out there. I said, you're as good as anybody out there. And I mean, what happened then was immense. Kevin, just from a Donegal perspective, you know, I was just counting back. Donegal were in four, in Jim's 6 years, Donegal were in four of the preliminary rounds. So they've had to play 21 games and they've only lost one match in five titles. You know, Stevie's talking about nothing between the teams, but yet Donegal seemed to be coming through all these tight games, even though you could make a serious case for Armagh potentially winning that match and winning last year. It's not. It's Donegal that keeps coming through. Like, where is it? Is there some kind of extra method in there, or is it just the way the lads are drilled, or their belief, or what are you putting that down to?
Listen, Davey, like, first of all, the record's phenomenal. Like, you know, we go back to our time, and the time, I suppose, like, Stevie and them had the hoodoo over us. We just couldn't beat them. Where the tables have seemed to turn now, and Jim and the boys just, they just seem to get the rub of the green at the right times. But, you know, honestly, I don't think any team deserved to lose it yesterday. It was absolutely, you know, mental from the first minute to the last in terms of quality, intensity, drama. So, you know, a draw probably would have been the fair result and go at it again, but with the tight calendar, that doesn't allow itself. But just much like Stevie, at the start of the game, I was kind of a wee bit worried about Armagh. They were offering Pat the kick out. You know, Donegal were creating scores easier. We were trying something different with the likes of the long ball and top of Murphy, but I didn't see anything different from Armagh. But then all of a sudden, they just clicked at the gear. They put a serious press on Patton's kick out and got serious joy off it. So then it just became a war of attrition, and it could have honestly went any way. And if Armagh had won it, I don't think we would have any complaints. So just testament to both teams and what they served up.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. In that first half, Stevie, you know, you look at, we were waiting for Gallen to kind of come back and hit form, you know, compared with where he was. He had an injury, you know, he's slowly kind of getting back to himself. But I mean, what a first half he had there, you know, too hot to handle for McCambridge. Oisin Connolly, I suppose, was a big plus for your guys in terms of his performance in there. But these are the things, I suppose, in these games, you know, because what I've noticed with Donegal is different players are stepping up at different times. And, you know, Kieran Thompson's 2 two-pointers, absolutely massive as well. And it's, you know, obviously Oisin O'Neill in for you. So different players, different games. There's other players out there who were fairly quiet on the day, if you like. You know, the likes of Grugan, I suppose. Yeah. You know, Ryan McHugh, you know, by their own standards, McBertie, you know, so different players, different times are stepping up. There's so much quality out there that someone's going to kind of light it up.
And that's the beauty with both of them squads, isn't it? You know, if two or three players are nailed down and tied up, you know, then somebody else springs to life. And, you know, I actually love watching Oisin Gallen. I think he's a fantastic inside forward, a player that isn't afraid to win a dirty ball, but take a man on and take a shot from distance. I love to see that in any inside forward, so I do. He was outstanding the other day. He was being marked by Barry McCambridge when he scored, I think, 4 points. So, you know, that's no mean feat. Barry McCambridge was in the running for Footballer of the Year last year, so it was a great return from Oisin Gallen's point of view. Thought Michael Murphy was outstanding. I can't believe for the life of me how he was able to withstand the period of play that he played, and given the heat and the condition. But what a player, what a leader for Donegal he's been. And that one-handed catch in that first half was probably worth the admission fee alone. He certainly is a handful, so he is. And, you know, we even played along with him, and I can go back. I'm retired from the game from county 14 years, and it just goes to show how he has, you know, stood the test of time. Oisin Connolly, though, I think has to get a special mention here too. For such a young fella, he certainly has the knack of putting in massive performances in big games. He ended up getting man of the match in the All-Ireland final last year, and his running ability, his score taking, his nerve under pressure, you know, can only be commended. And but that's the beauty about these two teams. You know, you don't put two squads of players the way Donegal and Armagh put them together and just rely heavily on one or two players. It's a squad effort, and even the players coming in off the bench had a massive say on Saturday. Niall O'Donnell, for example, for Donegal, had a massive impact on the outcome of the game. And that's just the beauty of those two squads and what they serve up to us at the minute.
Yeah, and listen, on that, Kevin, Niall O'Donnell's performance, and, you know, there's some brilliant moments of brilliant in there, but if you look at where he was on the sub pecking order, I think he came on 7th, Kevin, you know, in added time. So, you know, obviously Jim wasn't fancying him to come in. You know, he obviously by his own form, he had a few injuries there. He didn't play up to his own standards in the league. But there he is, you know, and as Stephen was saying there, someone produces a bit of magic that's kind of maybe wasn't totally expected. He went for the first shot on the left. It was a brave shot to take on, and he missed it. And I was like, oh, good. You know, obviously he's my club mate, and you're willing him on top of everything to get the ball over the bar. So he hits that point, and then he hits the winner. So what a story for him as well, because obviously being so far down the pecking order, Jim hadn't put his complete faith in him, but now look at how he's rewarded, and certainly maybe put himself more in the frame for the big games to come.
Yeah, Timmy, it's funny how it goes. Like, you know, Niall and the kind of footballer he is, and we've seen it here at club football and for the county, and for him to be well down the pecking order, I'm sure that hurt him. And funny, that probably played into his hands, because if he's coming off on the bench, you know, first or second sub, the pressure's maybe on him. I'm sure he had a bit of a sting in his tail, and he probably thought, you know, I should be playing, Jim, and I'm going to shoot here, I'm going to show you. So it just worked out for Donegal, the fact that maybe he had that wee bit of hurt in him. He missed the first one, but it didn't faze him. He was still going to have a go, and listen, what a man to bring off the bench. And as you say, he now goes into that mix of, you know, who's the best to come off the bench here.
Yeah, surely. Listen, Keelan McGonagall was back in there for Donegal, which was massive. So really, with Big McGee coming on as well, only Owen Bann is out. So Donegal pretty much up to the peak of their powers. And for Armagh, there was a lot of injuries there, Stephen, but most of them had recovered. And what I was afraid of going into out of time was there was like 7 changes from last year's team, but those players were all nearly all there. You know, Nugent and Ian O'Neill. But I thought that extra bit of maybe lads that were so close to maybe playing would have been the difference, because Donegal much more kind of settled, kind of 15. Maybe there was 2 definite subs that would have come on, you know, in Jason and Jamie. So did you think the Armagh squad had a bit of an advantage in that regard, Steve?
No, I didn't actually. I thought it was still very much 50-50, given the conditions and the heat on the day as well. That played a lot into it. But I know the likes of Conor Herbert, he got game time the last day out against Tyrone as well. But I don't think he's fully at the peak of his powers just yet. He's still coming back from an injury. Niall Grimley is possibly another player that's just not fully right yet. But coming on in those games will have brought them on, and next or 2 weeks will definitely have them hopefully firing on all cylinders. Obviously, we all seen that Ryan O'Neill was back amongst the squad as well. I don't think he'll show the next day out, but what a plus he is for Armagh in future games, you know. And I would say we'll probably foresee Ryan back in action in the Dublin game in Croke Park. So, you know, there's players coming back in. I don't think we're at full strength just yet, but there is players to come back in, and that's only going to add to it. You know, I've looked at the players who have taken the place of some of those guys through the course of the year. Tomás McCormick has been exceptionally good at cornerback, so he has a real tenacious cornerback that drives up the field, and he's kicked a couple of scores. He was very unlucky probably not to start the other day. Young McMullen, what an energetic young fella he is, and very cool on the ball as well. These players have come in. Callum O'Neill, probably not his best outing on Saturday. It's always going to be difficult going in against an experienced Donegal midfield, but you know, he will have learned a lot from that there, and he will move on and get stronger for the experience of it. So, you know, it's good to see players are coming back in the field, but I still think the likes of Grimley and Turbot just aren't firing on all cylinders just yet, and there's a wee bit left in them.
Yeah, the more to come from these boys, Armagh will be dangerous yet, no doubt. And Stevie, they'll dust themselves down, particularly after last year's experience. Just on Michael Murphy there, Kevin, I was looking at Donegal, his effect, say, in that Armagh League game, and particularly the Derry League game, where he came on, completely changed the game and the crowd. I was just wondering, Stevie, saying there, hot day, you know, when it's coming down where the game was going to be won or lost, as we know there's going to be nothing in it coming down the stretch. I thought Michael, you know, was a wee bit tired maybe in some of the other games, but really, it looked like he was really building his match fitness in them, because I'd have thought if you sent him on half time, it could cause chaos in Armagh forward line. But Jim has started him every game, and, you know, what a performance he put on right across the whole match, you know. And as Stevie was saying, for his age and for coming back in and the heat of the game now, he had a phenomenal performance. He was all over the pitch and kicking scores and setting up play, and it was just vintage stuff.
That's brilliant to me. Like, you know, Michael, as well as I do, if he's going to be in the squad, he's going to be in the shape of his life, so there's going to be a full game in him, even though he is 30-odd. Like, he prepares that well, and I think it's important, not just for Michael, but for the lads around him, for him to be still on the pitch in extra time, you know, it gives them that wee bit of insurance. Even when they were shuffling the ball back to him, he was playing as a quarterback. That calms the whole thing down, and it allows the young fellas to play with a wee bit more confidence. That's what he brings the team. The scores were fantastic and everything else, and the one-handed catch. But just the presence alone is so, so important for Donegal, and especially now as we head into the big stuff.
Kevin, just on the fatigue of potentially, you know, you look at the preliminary again, Derry, Monaghan, Down, Armagh, you know, you're looking around other provinces, you know, you have 2 weeks now. It's a lot of stuff, that extra time and that, for lads to get back down and go again. Do you think there's any issue with the fatigue as the championship goes on?
Hard to know, Davey. Like, I remember the first league game against Armagh, I was sitting and I thought to myself, like, Donegal are head and shoulders above Armagh in terms of their stamina, their physicality, but Armagh have caught up. Both teams were out on their feet there towards the end of the game, which is understandable. I suppose you take a Kerry or a Galway who haven't been pushed to the limits like we have up here, so it's hard to know, and I can just see this happening to me. I know the way football goes, Armagh and Donegal are going to cross paths again at quarter-final stage or semi-final stage. You can just tell it's going to happen, so listen, who knows at this stage.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Steve, just one aspect, I suppose, of the game. I kind of counted, I think Donegal had maybe five decent goal chances, one-on-one type situations where you would expect good goal chance. I think Armagh made it four. Donegal took two of theirs. Was it just one of those days, you know, a couple of shots, particularly the one, was it Charlie Oak flicked that one off the post where Patton was out
Charlie
of his goals?
Charlie Oak, yeah.
You know, I just, but Muggsy Guinness turned and said to me, oh, it's your day. He said that a few times, and then I got the sense after, was there a bit of unluckiness with Armagh with a few attempts off the post, etc.?
Well, I think Connolly shot the first one that came off the post. You know, I was in line with his shot, and I think he was more or less going for a pint. So it was a shot that almost caught Patton out, but hit the post. I think he was going for a pint for sure, and just miskicked it. There was other opportunities, yes. Charlie Oakes was extremely unlucky. You know, another day that was in. But you know, Donegal took two of their four or five chances that they had, and it's goals that win games. You know, goals in the heat of battle between two, you know, gladiator teams like Armagh and Donegal is going to be a massive score. And, you know, you have to give huge credit to Donegal. I really loved how they finished the second goal. It was a great finish. I think, who was it? Gladon Moore, wasn't it?
Moore, yeah.
Scored the second goal.
Yeah.
You know, what an athlete that guy is as well. And at that stage, I remember seeing a couple of Armagh players chasing the Donegal player who made the breakthrough, and the legs were just gone, and you knew that maybe a goal was going to come off it, but it was a brilliant finish, and you have to give great credit to Donegal. But listen, you know, these teams with great quality up front and the running power in the middle sector, they're going to create goal opportunities. So they are, some days they go for you, some days they don't, and another day Armagh could have maybe scored three or four goals, and the same with Donegal. So you know, I would almost agree with Kev either. You know, I think, you know, these two teams are going to have another titanic battle further down the line. You can see it's going to happen, and hopefully it's not at quarter final stage. You would take it at semi final stage, maybe, or even the final. But you can just see these two teams meeting again and serving up an even greater spectacle on the injury front and on the fatigue part of things. I really believe that these boys are so fine tuned that, you know, within a week they'll be back and ready and going again and ready for more action. So, yes, they've got a two-week gap now, and then the next game is a week later, and then they've got another two-week gap. So just with the fitness levels that they have, you know, and with the depth of squads that they have, I think they'll, you know, work to their advantage in the long run as well.
Yeah, hopefully it does, Stevie, yeah. Listen, I just suppose, thinking back to last year, Kevin, you know, remember the Tyrone game? Probably maybe Donegal's best performance. You know, you had the buzz of Alba Faye, Ulster champions, and they blew Tyrone away, but then we had Down and lost to Cork. And there was a wee bit then of Donegal then kind of getting back in the form that we'd seen. And then the Galway game, then we weren't at our best, and Jim says we ran out of steam. I guess that's kind of in my mind now, because it's been another kind of tough Ulster. So I think, yeah, rest and recovery are huge now, Kevin, just to get us ourselves right, because there's no doubting we'll come through that group. I think as long as we're up at, if we're playing at level we were, but it's just about keeping that level. Kevin, it's a lot, you know, to keep that up at that type of championship performance that we've seen on Saturday.
Definitely. And you know what, listen, the lads would have had a few beers on Saturday night, and no harm just to release valve and get back at it today. But you can be sure that Jim and the lads are sitting down today, because Davey, what's very dangerous here is the permutations. Like, depending on other groups where you finish first and second and stuff,
yeah,
you could be stung with a big hitter. So, you know, you can't afford to take a week off and maybe, you know, not go gung-ho for a game, because if you do that and just so you lose a game and depending on other results, you could be pitted against, you know, a big hitter on the other side of the draw. So, listen, you want to top your group, it gives you the best chance. So, although we've been on the go since preliminary round, that's just the way it is. We need to keep it going now and hopefully last as long as we can.
Mm, definitely. Of course, Stevie, it's 2022 now since still the Geezers Armagh team were beat in normal time in knockout championship. I mean, the competitive nature of that, I mean, there's been so much heartbreak in that too. I mean, ultimately, though, in All-Ireland, one in there too, but they've been so competitive, you know, that's not going to change. And this Armagh team know that. And if anything now, they probably relish going into this All-Ireland series, because you know yourself, Steve, you've been there. You know, there's a buzz around football, around Armagh, and everybody, I think, supporters realise here, they give it their all. There's no one to blame for this. Let's go again.
Yeah, and that's what they'll do. They've got the management team in place that will get their feet back on the ground and you know, recharge the batteries and get their recovery, whatever has to be done over the next week. But the players are with that mindset as well. They know exactly what it takes, and they've been in the exact same position last year. A tough game they had last year to go to Derry, first of all, and they went up there and put in a massive performance, got a great result. It's Derry, first of all, for Armagh again, this time at home. So, listen, it's not going to be easy. Derry have had plenty of time to look at and to prepare themselves for who they're going to be playing against. But it's not going to be an easy game. But, you know, there's definitely a high around Armagh at the minute. We know that this team are always going to be competitive. They have been very unlucky with penalty kicks. And the other day, as Kevin said earlier on, you know, you couldn't have begrudged if Armagh won, and I don't begrudge Donegal winning. That was just the nature of the game.
Yeah.
What I would come away saying is, what a spectacle, what a match. You know, two of the best teams in the country serving up that type of standard of a game is just brilliant to see. And, you know, both of these teams, I'd be pretty confident, will come out of their group. Will they top their groups? It'll be difficult for them to both top their groups. But they'll definitely come out of their groups, I would imagine, and hopefully avoid each other for as long as we possibly can, because, you know, I wouldn't want to be playing Donegal anytime soon. You know, we go back to our experience of 2005, beating Tyrone in the Ulster final after a replay, and then getting them again in the semi-final, and they got the upper hand on us that day. So it's that type of experience that you know, you don't want to be that familiar. Both teams are familiar with each other, but just if you're going to play again over the course of the year, hopefully it'll be in an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Kevin, just before I let you go, I have to bring up your own club mate, McFadden Ferry, starting rows at the end of the game. Huh? Well, better carry on.
If I wasn't going to leave that one to me, no.
Hey, there's one bench I'm not going to go. There's one bench I'm not going to go. That's Armagh one. you don't. that's only going to end one way. Yeah.
You know what, Davey, I honestly hope that nobody gets involved in this. Listen, tempers flare and emotions were high. Listen, both sets of those players left absolutely everything on the pitch. So I really don't want to see Emily from Armagh get suspended, because if that happens, we're going to take two or three Donegal men with them. So let's just leave it and move on. Listen, it shouldn't happen. I'm sure the boys regret it. So, listen, let's just hope that both squads have a full complement going forward.
You agree with that, Stevie?
100%. Listen, tempers flare in games of that magnitude, and it's the heat of the moment stuff, and I wouldn't be too concerned about that at all, to be honest.
He's a good lad, McFadden Ferry. Take it from me, Stevie. I don't know what happened to
him.
He's a good lad. I thought initially he was going over shouting to the crowd, but I don't know then did he catch their bench, and then he was shouting at there. I don't know why. It was a wild, strange situation. Poor McGuinness was hugging a couple of kids. He turned round. He was like a daddy then breaking up the fight. He's like, what is going on? It just kicked off.
Listen, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see that at the end of any game. Particularly, all you want the supporters and the fans of both Donegal and Armagh talking about is the calibre and the standard of the game. And
because it was good natured, Stevie. It was very good natured. The game in terms of, you know, it was cut and thrust.
Absolutely.
But there was no real nonsense and wee bits and pieces, but nothing that, you know, you would say that was out of order. It was played in a really great spirit.
Yeah, and that's what you want. Listen, with those two teams, you're going to get that. You're going to get plenty of good hits, plenty of intensity in the tackle, and plenty of good football. And that's exactly what was served up to us. And yes, there's a rivalry building, a seriously good rivalry building between Donegal and Armagh. And it's healthy. It's healthy for both teams. And, you know, hopefully we bring out the best in Donegal and Donegal bring out the best in us. And hopefully it's a rivalry that'll last for the next couple of years.
Yep, well, we'll finish it on that. Stevie McDonald, ex-Armagh legend. He was out in the pitch, of course. His team has been honoured there. Ulster champs. That was a 25-year fair play. And it was great, kind of great to see you all again. Even Benny Tierney.
You'll hear Benny before you see him anyway.
He's some buckwheat, some cracking Friday. Listen, now, Stevie McDonald, Armagh legend, and one of our own greats, Kevin Castler. It's great to chat to him. We'll catch up soon. Yes, folks, that was the two boys there rounding up that epic game. We're going to talk more about it after the break. Mo Maureen O'Donnell has joined us.
Hi.
We all know where is Mo. We're going to chat about the ladies' game and, of course, more in the men's game. I've got more reaction pieces as well. Just a word on our hurlers. They're down to London at the weekend at home to London. They were competitive again. Their last game in the Christy Ring is in Trim this weekend at 1:30. Now, the big thing for Donegal was to stay in the Christy Ring Cup, which they've done. First time up there. So this was about, you know, being competitive as they were. And they've had a great season so far. So listen, hopefully they give it to me in the league. So hopefully they can get a morale boosting victory in their last game. So we're going to talk more about the Ulster finals after this break. Yes, folks, welcome back. Maureen O'Donnell is in here. Maureen, good to see you as ever.
Thanks.
Tell me, you were doing the commentary on the ladies' game, and then you were watching the men's and helping out with a bit of stats, were you?
I was.
Eagle-eyed.
I was doing the stats for the men, so it was pretty interesting, actually. It was a great game to be at, to be honest. And sure, it's a fantastic one for Donegal men. Obviously, the ladies didn't get the one on the day, but look, the ladies are rebuilding, so...
Yeah.
But it's great to be in a final, and look, what a super occasion for both teams on Sunday. You know, when there was a good enough crowd in for the ladies towards the end as well, so it was good.
Yeah. Eyesight's going on Tony Boyle and Kilcoyne, isn't it? Well, not saying about Oisin. Don't say anything bad about Oisin.
No.
Hey, what about that in terms of the preview list? Is that something you think should happen more often in terms of the teams being put together again? What would that have meant for the ladies to be playing in front of that crowd?
I suppose it's huge, and look, that, as I said, there's a very young team there now in Donegal, and going out in an Ulster final like that, a lot of them were just new out there on that platform. So, but the buzz that they would have got playing, because look, let's be realistic, the numbers turning out at the ladies game has improved in the last number of years, but it's still not at the level that the LGFA would like to see it at. Whether or not it'll ever get to the level that we've seen, that Pack Stadium, what was there, 29,000 nearly there in Clonus on Sunday, and it was electric. You were there, we all were there to witness it. Anyone sitting at home was thinking probably why didn't they get a ticket, or if they could to get a ticket. But that kind of atmosphere that you have there for the men's, that's electrifying, like, you know, because, like, we talk about it all the time, the crowd being a 16th player, and at so many stages throughout the men's game, they were, because, you know, they were behind their side, they were shouting for their side. And for the ladies to experience a little bit of that, even though probably the game was well and truly over by the time the most of the crowd come in, at the end of maybe, towards the end of the second half of the ladies, you know, you could look at the scoreboard and think, it's nearly over here, but... Listen, it's great for some of the girls to get out there and to witness that and to be a part of that. Like, and look, I think if the LGFA are going to integrate with the JAA, you're going to have a lot of probably curtain raisers like that. And look, there's advantages and there's disadvantages. You're not always going to get the two teams like you had, the two Armagh teams, Armagh and Donegal, playing one. So it might be a mixed match like the Leinster final there. There was Louth, Watt and Meath in the men, and it was Dublin and Meath in the women. So it won't always match up.
Yeah.
But it certainly will get bums in the seats, and people watching the game. You know, I feel like that's something they need to move towards, you know. And also, listen, it's a day out, and it's a costly day out for families, as you know, Brendan, when you're going along to a game. But if you can get bang for your buck or buck for your bang, you know, when you're paying in, you get two games for the price of one, and maybe two county championship games.
That's a good point, because if you're a GA fan and you want to watch two games, and as you said, if they're on two different days or two different weekends, and then you're on the road again, and there is quite expense that. I was even thinking, we were chatting earlier about fatigue with Donegal. You know, it's been a big year in terms of league games. I've seen people, Donegal fans, someone listening now, have been everywhere. They've been at everywhere, Killarney and Castlebar and everywhere, Galway. You know, you and the championship, the four games now, you know, even me, I was like, right, I'm glad I'm done with Clonus.
Of course. Of course, and very often you have families you have to choose what to go to. Like, you might have a family where one of their girls are playing under 14 county on that day. Obviously, they'll go there, but they'd like to go there, or they could be playing the ladies' team. They would like to go to the both games. And like yesterday, they would have been able to go to both games and got a lot out of their money and out of their trip to Clonus for the day. You know, so listen, it's about sitting down and seeing where we can go.
Definitely. Listen, we're going to talk more about the ladies now in a minute. Mo, we're still reflecting on the senior final, the epic nature of it there. I was standing in the mosh pit there at the end, and I could see you as we were all still on air. So even though I was there for BBC, I said, I'll talk to a couple of these lads. I may as well be from you.
Well, what a match. The atmosphere. Donegal's come through again. Your own introduction to the game, you had a huge impact.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, just for the people of Donegal, we've been riding this wave the last 18 months, and we wanted to keep that going. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. You know, it looked like we had the game won, it looked like we had it lost, and then we ended up drawing it very similar last year, but thankfully it didn't go to penalties, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get my chance, and it wasn't looking that way in full time. Five subs come on, and when it went to extra time, I knew it was going to be needed, so I just had to get my head right, and thankfully I'd done that.
Yeah, and now waiting in the wings, was there a feeling with Jim, even though Donegal were Ulster champion, or All-Ireland champions, that, you know, there's this thing of Jim in Ulster, you know, one game lost to Monaghan, and that was going on off here in 2013. Do you feel that sense of belief coming from him that is right through the team?
Yeah, definitely. Like, ever since I've been involved with Donegal, we've been competing in Ulster finals nearly every single year, you know. So we knew we're one of the top guns in Ulster. We won it last year. We had that confidence. Obviously, Armagh won the All-Ireland. Look, they're a good team as well, but Ulster's full of good teams, and thankfully we came out the right side again today.
And now your own party playing this. You know, you've been coming off the bench for Donegal. You started games for Donegal. You had to wait it out today, but when you came in now, Donegal were tiring. They needed some kind of injection, a bit of brilliance, and you gave it.
Yeah, to be honest, I probably, you know yourself, I've probably never been the best trainer, and I wasn't getting into the squad, so I knew something had to change. I had to go push that extra edge, which I mightn't have had to do in years previous. So the last couple of weeks I've just been doing anything I can to get into the team. I obviously didn't get into the team today, but when I got my chance, I knew I was going to take it, you know.
Not the best trainer.
We can all say that at times.
I love the honesty. What a guy. You know, no, just you know, those stories that pop up in there that you maybe weren't expecting. He certainly was one of them, you know. Yeah. You know, we all know this, and the boy is blessed with unbelievable skill. You know, if you think of last year, you know, I text him after the game, I said, when we were in trouble last year, you hauled us back in it, then you won it this year. I mean, there's two huge moments there for him, but certainly in the league, between injuries and the wee bit of form, and you see that. I mean, the Gallon as well, not really hitting form. Different players have gone in and out there, and even, I suppose, the likes of, it was like a McBurdy, and O'Boyle and these, they've had unbelievable games. But listen, everybody still works, they do their job, they play well, they're a seven, but then different games people jump to that eight and a half, and Niall certainly did that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you said it there, like, you know, it takes serious leadership quality. You can always play a game on an average day, like on any given Sunday you can go out and play a game, but you know, it takes real hero, like, and a real leadership ability and quality in the field to go out there and pull it off on a day like that when you're really, really needed, Brendan. And sometimes that says a lot about it. But look, he's going to gain huge confidence from that alone, and bring that back into it. Like, he obviously didn't have a lot of starts, and you talked about Oisin Gallon being off form, and look, it's great to see these players coming back into a better form.
But Mo, I would tie it in the injury too. Like, there's no doubt Oisin obviously started the season, and everybody takes a while to get going, but when you're coming back from injury in the CMNL, you know, you just need a spark, you know. And you know, Niall hit the first one, as I was saying in the piece with the boys. you know, I was like, God, he just needs a point. Yeah. And then, like, he's away. Then, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It just takes that one thing. And then, as you say, like, getting the winner there, like, Jesus, like, as I say, like, he should be in the starting teams. But look, it's all about a panel of players. I mean, you can bring players that get off the bench and players like he was late on. And look what he did, and look at the influence he had over the game. And, you know, Jim will certainly be looking at something like that now for the future, you know.
He will.
No, it's great to see. Hey, listen, yeah. It's positive all round. Like, but look at Armagh, they lost it last year and they were All-Ireland champions. Like, but Jim's a bit of a perfectionist, I think. Like, he wants to win them all, you know. And he's always talked about how important the Ulster Championship is.
Yeah.
And he wants that probably All-Ireland now. Yeah. But to have an Ulster Championship behind you as well,
yeah.
He would always say, what's the point of winning All-Ireland if you can't win your own province?
That's right. So. There's a great interview with Oisin and Jim. Listen, click on the site there, you'll see it. There's other interviews, Jason McGee and Oisin Gallen, and there's a whole pile of stuff on there. Click on and see them, HighlandRadio.com. Mo, the ladies, you know, we're just chatting there. Like, it's just Donegal and Armagh at the senior level. What do you make of that for a start? The fact that you're just in the Ulster final. Is that something that needs to be addressed? And obviously, as we know, Armagh are All-Ireland contenders and that. So, I mean, in fairness to us, we're the only team that's going to give them a challenge, but we're in a serious rebuild.
Yeah, like, we are, and there's no doubt about it, and there's no point in hiding behind it. We are in a transition now at the minute, and however long that's going to take, we probably hemorrhaged a lot of experienced players over the last number of years, and look, no harm to Donegal. They've been there, and they've been trying their best maybe to get a senior All-Ireland, but it just didn't work out for them, and other things came up, and I suppose age is a factor in that as well. But yeah, then you look at Armagh, and they've stayed together. Like, because I spoke the last day about Caroline O'Hanlon, she's 40 years old. Like, she played the first All-Ireland, she played that in 2006 when Armagh got to the very first All-Ireland senior final and lost it. And she's been knocking at the door since. Do you know what I mean? So she's still there. That alludes me to the fact that she's after that All-Ireland that she doesn't have. That's the one thing, medal she doesn't have in her locker, you know. And whereas our girls had a bow out, because I suppose of age and things like that, and things weren't going well for them at the time. Now we're in transition, and like that Ulster final, like Donegal were in there obviously by default, so were Armagh, like, but the fact that they're still in senior, but there's intermediate and junior, like, so yeah, I think they need to revamp it and relook at it. Like, possibly with Donegal in transition, would they have been in an Ulster final yesterday had they played maybe prelim rounds or quarter final stages? So it's something definitely looking with an Ulster, because you know Ulster football's always been very, very strong. And some of the teams that are in Ulster, maybe they're playing Division 2, some play in Division 3. You know, there's a mixed match in there. But, like, when you go out to play in a championship, Bren, you know yourself, it's different from any league competition. So everybody's up for the games in championship. So teams will perform that bit better. Do you know? Whether, like, if you don't grade it at all, there'll still be a decent championship there. Yeah. Just all the one.
You would have to, yeah.
You know, but the fact that they're an intermediate All-Ireland, you see, they cannot be playing at senior.
I get you. The three different categories, I suppose, is something that's that bit different. Yeah. But yeah, listen, this is what it is. Well, what about now Galway and Tipperary in the group stages? What do you think about that? I mean, obviously, a couple of different difficult challenges there, and particularly Galway.
Galway are very strong anyway, do you know what I mean? I don't see them having any, like, Galway are a team that have, for me, should have won an All-Ireland a long time ago, Brenda, do you know what I mean? And Tipperary probably won't put up much of a challenge for them at this stage. It's hard to know though, you know, it's early days and group stages, so, you know, sometimes I feel like football's hard to predict now at this stage.
Yeah.
You just don't know from one moment to the next what's going to happen.
So
but
one team goes through and then one does a qualifying round. Is that how the group works?
The groups have just recently been made, Brenda, so it's all just new now at the minute to me. But I want maybe top two teams will go through.
Yes,
quarterfinal stages.
Yeah, I'd say that's it. It's about the more you said about the learnings of yesterday, or Saturday, you got to build towards something. So listen, that's just the road they're on now. I mean, James obviously coming in there, he's a great guy in that. So it's about the squad, as you said, staying together now, and those kind of legendary figures like yourself that have been there and done it. These new crop of girls are going to start to produce those type of players.
Yeah. Listen, look. We've got to build on what we have now at the minute and keep playing. Like, it's easy to play when things are good. you know. So look, James has come on there and he's taken the team for, this is his first year and he's done quite well as well. So look, we got to give him a chance and give everybody, he's a backroom staff, he's Karen Guthrie on there, backroom staff, Katie Hearn earlier on the year. So look, if the likes of those are coming back into it and giving a hand, you know, and their experience will also play into it as well, we just have to work with the underage structures that we have now and try and build in a team for the future, Brendan, and hope for the best, you know.
We do indeed. Mo, great roundup as ever. Thanks, Joe, for producing. Everybody for listening. Of course, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly, who started off the show with that brilliant commentary. I'm going to be listening to that over and over again. What a weekend for Donegal. We'll speak to you all next week as we build up to Tyrone and the group stages of All-Ireland Championship. I'll chat to you all then.